The gospel reading is found from Luke chapter 18, beginning at the 9th verse. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Are you a Pharisee or a tax collector? It's hard to read this parable without placing oneself in one role or the other. Or perhaps we're a little of both. Who among us has not felt a bit self-satisfied on a Sunday morning? Well, Lord, I thank you that I am here this morning in church to worship and praise you. I thank you that I'm not like my neighbor who's shopping or enjoying a round of golf or at home reading the newspaper instead of being in church. I thank thee that I'm not like those stupid people in the other political party who don't understand your will for our nation. I thank thee that through hard work I've been successful and that I'm not like these people on welfare or those who don't accept our American values. Lord, I hope you notice that I'm here most every Sunday and even during the week serving my church. I fill out a pledge card every year and give my weekly offering. And so we become rather self-righteous. It's only when we mess up or when things start to fall apart in our lives that we gain the humility of the tax collector. Those in recovery programs call it hitting rock bottom. Sometimes it takes a major mistake or unforeseen trouble to help us see our need for God's grace and forgiveness. Only then do we echo the tax collector's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When Jesus tells a parable, he often directs it to a particular person or group. Last week, when I was away, Bill Rupp shared with you the story of the widow and the unjust judge in the first part of this 18th chapter of Luke. That parable was directed to those who needed some encouragement to pray always and not to lose heart. If a poor widow is able to get a ruling in her favor from a crooked judge by her persistent pleading and tenacity, how much more will our good Heavenly Father respond to our prayers? Today's parable is also about prayer, but it is directed to a different audience. We read that Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. This was a tough audience. It's not directed to those weak in faith or losing heart, But to those who have such confidence in themselves and take so much pride in their goodness that they can't acknowledge their need for God, not even in prayer. They're self-sufficient and make themselves out to be better than others. They trust in their own goodness and regard others with contempt. When we listen to a story like this, there's always the question of who we identify with. I don't know about you, but when I first heard this story at an early age in Sunday school, I think we were taught that we should be like the humble tax collector, or the word that we use from the King James Version, publican, rather than to act like the proud Pharisee. But I wonder whether it's really that simple. It reminds me of a story I heard about a young minister who had recently graduated from seminary. He recalled a challenging experience in his early ministry when he was interning in a fairly large and prosperous church in one of the richer suburbs. The church had an active youth ministry, and to encourage the parents of the youth to be involved, the Sunday school organized a class just for the parents of these teenagers. Well, one Sunday morning, this young minister was asked to fill in for the regular teacher of the class. And so he decided that for their lesson that morning, they were to study this parable of the two people praying in the temple. Now, most of the parents in the class were very successful, hardworking, professional, law-abiding folks. But they were not regular church attenders, and so most of them were not familiar with this parable. And so after opening the class with prayer, the minister read the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and so on. And then he came to the punchline, Jesus' words, "I tell you, the tax collector went down to his home justified rather than the other." Well, some of the parents just went ballistic. "What do you mean? God was more pleased with the tax man, the sinner. Didn't the Pharisee deserve some credit for his good life, for the good things he did? Don't good deeds count for something?" They just couldn't accept it. The young minister couldn't remember much of what he said to the class after that, trying to answer their pointed questions and help them understand what Jesus was getting at. He tried to show them that we're all sinners, that our good deeds don't cancel out the bad things we do. There's the sin of pride when we brag too much about our goodness and then look down on our noses in contempt for others. The minister said it was a hard lesson to teach. And not surprisingly, he was never asked to be the substitute teacher again. Well, it's a hard lesson for all of us. From our point of view, when we take pride in our work and success, in doing what is right, in being good citizens, in giving generously of our time and money to the church and to charity, that should count for something. And I think it does. But it's shocking to hear Jesus say that God chooses a despised tax collector over an upstanding member of the religious community. He tithed. We won't have a second thought about adding him to our church membership. The preacher Scott Jose comments on this text and suggests that we might better understand this parable by getting rid of our bias against the Pharisee. Pretend that someone else is offering this prayer in the temple. Suppose it's our sweet grandmother praying over the turkey at Thanksgiving. "Dear God, we are thankful that our family is together today with a table filled with blessings. We're thankful that we don't have a broken home like the family next door, or like the people who don't have much food on their table, or like so many people who don't even take time to pray on this Thanksgiving Day like we do. Remember, it's Grandma praying now. What is it that keeps us from sounding like the Pharisee? When does a prayer of thanks go bad and turn into pride and regard others with contempt? To the original hearers of Jesus' parable, there was probably nothing particularly wrong with the Pharisee's prayer. The Pharisees were not bad people. They were among the most respectable and law-abiding folks that one could find anywhere. It only seemed right and proper for them to thank God for giving them the privilege that they had in their religion and in society. Scholars suggest that the prayer that Jesus placed on the lips of this man was not out of order. It pretty much represented how pious religious people prayed at that time. God, I thank you for my blessings. And when I look around at others, I'm all the more grateful that I'm not like them. Nothing really seemed out of place until Jesus adds a surprise ending to the story. I tell you, the tax collector went down to his home justified rather than the other. That came as a shock to Jesus' listeners. And I believe it comes as a surprise to us too, because we all tend to believe that our good works count for something. Yes, we believe in the grace of God, but is that enough? Therefore, we try to become more perfect or appear so before God. We try to hide our imperfections. We pretend perfection. We deflect attention away from our own faults by pointing to the failings of others. But is perfection what God really wants of us? In our world, claims of perfection often reflect dishonesty and an attempt to hide our own failures and shortcomings. When we try to steer our lives toward perfection, we turn away from God's mercy and compassion and trust in our own abilities. We commit this sin of pride when we try to make ourselves look better than we really are. And we look down on others. I also believe that we struggle with this sin in society and as a nation. We don't like to look in the mirror. In a speech some time ago, Michelle Obama reminded us of an historical fact about the White House, that it was in part built by African slaves. Though we've come a long way to electing an African American to occupy the White House, we still struggle with this racial prejudice and injustice. People live in poverty. Too many people are incarcerated. Children need a better education. Serene Jones, president of the Union Theological Seminary in New York City, recently said that we still have trouble telling a truthful story about our common history, avoiding the truth about our failures, including the near genocide of America's original residents, the Native Americans, and the brutality of slavery. We live the lie that we are good and those who oppose us are bad. President Jones claims that this deception is manifest in an election in which neither side may admit any bad about themselves or any good about their opponents. This parable teaches us about ourselves as followers of Christ. If it makes us twinge with remorse at the thought of acting like the self-righteous Pharisee, it also inspires us with the humility of the tax collector. The good news is that we don't have to pretend perfection, because Jesus Christ has taken on himself our imperfections and our sin. Our justification is not obtained by doing things, even good things, going to church, being charitable. Justification comes through God's reaching out in mercy to those who admit their faults. Jesus communicates this profound truth in this short story about two men in the temple praying. In typical Jesus fashion, he reminds us that appearances can be deceiving. The one called righteous by society walks away from the temple still wrapped up in his grandiose self-righteousness. And the one looked down upon by good church folk went down to his home justified. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. How seductive it is to trust in ourselves that we are righteous and to regard others with contempt. We do our duty, we put our envelope in the offering, we serve the church and the world in so many ways. Hurrah for us! Boo for those who do not follow the rules as we do or give as much as we give. We need to be honest. None of us is perfect, nor will we ever become perfect by our own efforts. Yet we are confident in the mercy of God. Whether Pharisee or tax collector by nature, we all find a welcome in God's house. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.